So our scripture reading for this week is from the book of Romans. We're reading from chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. So my little one, Ollie, he started three-year-old preschool this week. Monday, he started three-year-old preschool. And really, we were not quite ready for it, if I'm being honest. Our baby in preschool. We know it'll be good for him. It just really kind of snuck up on us. And one of the things that we've been worried about as he's there at school now for a couple hours every day and not safely at home, in our loving care, and we worry a little bit. We just really don't want him to change. He's exposed now to a whole class full of new and random people who might do and say Lord knows what to him, and he could pick up a bunch of bad habits now. Not that he couldn't do that at home, I guess, too. But he's so good now. Let me fix this. He's so good and kind-hearted. I really, really do not want him to change. I don't want him to change. And it's tempting, a little tempting, to want to keep them all safe, keep them all secluded in our little bubbles. But the challenge for all of us, I guess, is as we learn and we grow and we go through life, really, it's how to be good and kind-hearted. How to be Christians, how to keep being Christians despite whatever the world is doing all around us. It is a challenge for a three-year-old, but for any of us, for anybody living in this world, we have a significant challenge facing us. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, Paul says. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed. Instead, we offer ourselves as a gift worthy of giving to God. Paul is writing to the Romans, to the Christians there. And at first, the Christians in Rome, like everywhere else, at first they were Jewish converts to Christianity. They had been raised with the law. They knew the rules, followed the law, and they lived still in their particular way in the world, in the midst of a society that behaved drastically differently from them. They held strong. Before long, though, others became interested in Christianity, and so Gentiles and non-Jews started to join the Christian movement. People who had been brought up in this pagan culture of Rome, worshiping a variety of gods, all mixed up now. These are Christians now, all mixed up in the whirlwind of the Roman world. For Jewish Christians, they were already living by a number of biblical rules for their lives that set them apart. Rules about what to eat and about what to wear and so on. And the faith that they lived by was designed to keep them set apart and different and dedicated to God alone. But for these people new to the faith, people in the Roman culture struggling now to live as Christians, surrounded in the ways of the world, this message from Paul is for them. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. And it's really the same for us, same message for us. The false narrative that we can too often start to live by in this world is that Christians, we are no different than the world. We're just the same. And sadly, sometimes we are just the same. But Christians ought to be a little different. We ought to be peculiar in the world, set apart in the world. It is less threatening to our lives to think, oh, we're just the same as everybody else. It's easier for sure. But we are to be transformed into Christ, transformed in Christ, not conformed to the world. In Christ, we are given another example entirely to live by. And this message is for us. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. And not being conformed to this world is no simple task, for sure. The world will fight. The world will fight at every turn to try to convince us to be a certain way, to act a certain way, to live a certain way, when we have been called to be peculiar, set apart in the world. When I was in high school, sophomore year, we lived in the country, in the country south of ways from Des Moines, Iowa. And I started going to this church on Sunday nights that a couple other of my friends went to, and so I had to drive on our gravel roads, these loose gravel roads, to this church that was just outside of town. And on the way there, they had this. There was this hill that if you got up much speed at all, then you'd get that funny feeling in your stomach, you know, where your belly kind of goes up into your chest. My dad calls it giggly bumps. I don't know. I don't know if that's the official name or not. Anyway, there was one of these bumps. And if you go much over 40 miles an hour at all on a loose gravel road, then it's really not very smart at all. But you know, I was driving for 2 years already, so I knew what I was doing, right? And the first week, I barely sped up at all, perfectly safe, basically. And the problem was that now I was going to this church every week. I had to drive over this hill every week, and so I went just a little faster the second week, just a little faster the next week, and a little faster the next, creeping up and up, and before long, it was way, way too fast, and I just didn't notice at all. I wasn't realizing at all how stupid I really was until I found myself in the ditch, and then I realized how stupid I really was. Just lucky to be alive, really. And the truth is, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves going just a little bit faster, bit by bit. We can find ourselves so swept up in the currents of our life in this world to the point that trying to not end up in the ditch is work enough. We can find ourselves a little out of time, making a compromise here or there with one decision or another, more and more, filling up our time up with everything else, but where we really know it should be given, giving our energy more and more to everything else, but to where we know it should be. That Rabbi Abraham Heschel writes that. He said, "Gallantly, ceaselessly, quietly, man must fight for liberty," he said, "to remain free of the enslavement of the world. Gallantly, ceaselessly, quietly, we must fight for liberty in this world." We can start to look just like everybody else, start to act like everybody else if we're not careful. The world will tell us how to live if we let it. Don't let it. We get to make our lives and remake our lives to live it full and well and give it to God. The apostle says, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We give ourselves to God. What we are called to give is it's our lives. We present our bodies. And this is not some emotional or some intellectual belief of God, but a living out, of our faith. We're to give over our lives holy and acceptable. It's not a matter of belief alone. We actually need to do things to resemble this peculiar Christ-like people we're called to be, to not live in the pattern of the world. We need to do things to live in the pattern of Jesus, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. The preacher D.L. Moody, he said once, he said that the problem with living sacrifices is that they keep crawling off the altar. The problem with a living sacrifice, they keep crawling off the altar. And we can be reluctant to give our whole selves over to God. We can withhold a piece of ourselves that we're not ready to give, a part of our time, a part of our lives. We keep crawling off the altar. And the task for us is to turn around, to crawl back on the altar again, to give ourselves over, to give ourselves over more and more of our hearts, more of our time, more of our life, and everything we do, each decision that we make in our lives, each of our actions, our choices, our work, how we spend our time and our attention. This is what we have to offer our God. This is our life, the living sacrifice to God. John Ortberg said in his book, The Me I Want to Be, he said that the main measure of your devotion to God, it's not your devotional life. The main measure of your devotion to God, it's simply your life. It's just your life. God wants our lives. Richard Foster is a writer and a teacher of spiritual disciplines. And when he was a teenager, he spent a summer with the Eskimo people of Alaska, and it impressed Richard that the Eskimo Christians have this deep sense of the wholeness of life, he says, with no break between their prayer and their work, their prayer life and their work life. It's all the same. And Richard went to Alaska to help build the first high school above the Arctic Circle. And the work was hard, he said, often back-breaking. And one day he was trying to dig a trench for a sewer line, which was no easy task in the frozen tundra in Alaska. And the Eskimo man came to him, whose face and hands were displayed the leathery toughness of many winters. And he came by and watched him for a while. And after some time passed, the man spoke simply and profoundly, and he said, "You are digging a ditch to the glory of God. You're digging a ditch to the glory of God." And the words stuck with Richard. And in time, that ditch would be covered up, forgotten. No one would know it was there, much less remember who dug it. But because of that man's words, Richard says, "I dug with all my might. For every shovelful of dirt was a prayer to God." Richard made the discovery that everything we do, whether great or small, we can do it for the glory of God. The old composer Johann Sebastian Bach, he used to write on every piece of music he wrote. He would write the letters S-D-G. And it meant Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. Bach wrote every piece of music and he signed it to God alone be the glory. And it is more than a worthy cause for us to strive to write Soli Deo Gloria, to say for the glory of God alone with every day of our lives, sign it with our work, sign it with our time, our actions, for the glory of God. The world will tell you how to live if you'll let it, but let us be the ones to live it for the glory of God alone. Amen.